This is a conversation that we've been having a long time about athletes, coaches, celebrities, whether you're listening to some of their shows here on WCPT or you're listening to us here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Chavarri, and myself, Mike Mercado. Now, the story that's breaking right now all over the sports world, whether you see CNN and ESPN in the campus on Evanston of Northwestern, is this hazing situation that we have seen now and the suspension of Coach Pat Fitzgerald for the first two games of the season. Now it looks like they are taking a new look at this after a report comes out on ESPN and, of course, a journalism school thinking this wouldn't get through. So, guys, we could talk about the details about this, but we were talking about off-air. We don't know as of this recording whether Fitzgerald's going to have a job in an hour, 2 hours, 3 days after two games.
It's not if, it's when. And if it
Mike Schoh gets fired?
If it isn't when and not if, that's really baffling by a university that purports itself to be such a fine institution of higher learning.
With a brand new person in charge, with Mike Schoh in there, let's break this down. We've seen so much from what happened in Penn State, what happened in Michigan State, and then we see this. And I think the one thing I want to talk about is the private institute that is Northwestern. What do you guys think when you see something like this? How true of an investigation do you think we're going to actually get? I mean, they didn't show us the report. You know, there's this big investigation that was done by a third-party law firm, and they said that there was grounds to these allegations. Okay, so there's grounds to these allegations. Northwestern didn't give us any of these details. They didn't give us this report. So we're just relying on what the athletic department decided to do with Fitzgerald, and now all of these anonymous reports coming out from different sources. Do you trust Northwestern's going to give you any real information? Do you think if and when he gets fired, it's just going to be Fitzgerald's gone and we're going to move forward, sweep this under the rug, and hope nobody pays attention to this? I mean, you don't do this on a Friday news dump unless your idea was we don't want people talking about this.
But they have the students, aren't there like students that are kind of working on the story from the journalism school, which is a world-renowned journalism school.
So
at the same time, like it, just because Northwestern thinks this is done, it's not really done. Mm-hmm. And I think even bigger than, you know, this is kind of hitting us because it's local.
Yeah.
And of course it's local and a team that has always been careful to get a certain type of student athlete. At the cost of winning, you know, they don't want to lower the overall IQ of the football team just to win football games because Northwestern is a very great school.
Great school.
You meet anyone that graduates from Northwestern, they are a sharp individual.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, you know, that they are so careful, I think it also opens up the conversation. If this is happening at Northwestern, where else is this happening? And I'm not surprised by the fact that there is hazing because it's always kind of gone hand in hand. That's not excusing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they were implementing, I think, anti-hazing zero tolerance policies, trying to stamp this out 10, 15 years ago, to me, I thought, well, it doesn't mean that it's over. It's just going to shift into a different type of it.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it got to this point. But it's just weird now that, okay, well, if Pat Fitzgerald didn't know about it, which I doubt, then what does that say about him as a coach, you know?
Well, Paul, I'm thank you for bringing this up because let's go down the two avenues. Either he did know or he didn't know.
Yeah.
Dev, let me throw it to you for a second. I mean, you're hearing what's going on. This news is kind of broke. It was a news dump on Friday. This institute, this department thought that it was going to go under the rug, even though it's a journalism school in a major market, in a major conference with a well-known head coach. Where are you on all this? Do you see it? Do you think he actually knew what was going on? Or are you gonna? Do you think he had no idea, plausible deniability, all this was going on before or underneath the nose of Pat Fitzgerald?
He's been there for how long? I definitely think he knew something was going on. I was just doing some research beforehand, and I was reading. There was apparently a secret handshake him and some of the players did called, like, the Shrek Shake or something. And it's like, okay, if you have a secret handshake named after, like, a 2004 DreamWorks movie, right off the bat, I got some little sus sort of things there. But it's like, as I was telling Paul before this, like, hazing has kind of gone on forever, but it's like, as we've been learning, it's gotten way and way more extreme as the years have kind of gone on here. And it's just kind of just at the point, it's like, did the coach not know? I don't know how you wouldn't know unless you have absolutely no connection with your players whatsoever. And we see Northwestern, they're always putting on a, you know, good record every year. It's like, do you think a coach who has no connection with his players personalized is able to put a team together that well? No, absolutely not. He friggin' knew.
So this isn't just like hazing that we think about like in movies where like, oh, you got a wedgie, even though that seems extreme, don't touch anybody. But think about like innocent as you can think. It's not that type of hazing.
No, this borders on sexual assault.
So we're talking about putting on purge masks. Yeah, we're talking about they put on purge masks, made guys run naked, they're dry humping them, they're soaked up in suds. Like, this isn't like normal, like, oh, you got to go buy us donuts or you have to wear the frozen book pack from the bullpen.
Yeah, or you're going to sing a karaoke song
or
something.
Yeah,
no, it's
this
it's
is
weird.
Assault.
It's some weird, like, you know, football homoeroticism, you know, type of
100%.
Thing. 100%. You know, in a sport that, you know, I don't know how much they still have guys that are probably homophobic in a locker room like
assume,
that. You know what I'm saying?
You
so
have
it's
to
like,
assume,
it
yeah.
borders on the weird yeah. that's going on there. And the fact, you know, like, regardless of where it stands and how egregious versus whatever, it does stink of the Penn State stuff because we're talking about a coach that's beloved. You know, he was a star player there.
Rose Bowl
on
player.
The Rose Bowl team. Yeah. You know, this is a superstar. So he's being protected by a system of boosters, board members, alumnuses,
maybe even media members.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe even media members because we know how much Go Cats.
Yeah.
Chicago's Big Ten school. Like, we know how much they're involved, ingrained in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. What worries me the most.
And even on the national level, even though Northwestern is not a program that you think of as a winning program, it's still Northwestern. Football's had flashes of good things. You know, they're always there. They're a Big Ten Division I team. It's always nice when they're a good, whether it's basketball, football, or even when they're winning, field hockey and lacrosse?
Women's lacrosse. And like they got men's going into the tournament. 100%. And like I think none of us went to a Big Ten school. None of us went to like the U of I or Northwestern or Michigan State or Michigan or anything. But we all root for the local teams to do well. U of I or Northwestern, whether in the tournament, men's or women. What worries me the most, it's a private institute.
Mm-hmm.
This is not U of I. This is not a state school.
Mm-hmm.
We're only going to know so much. What's going to be interesting is when there's civil lawsuits, if there's civil lawsuits, when you have to go open for deposition and you have to go for any type of question that you're going to get, will we find out what we have?
But if there's lawsuits here, as we've learned several times when anyone, especially when women come saying so-and-so famous sexually assaults me, how often do they get paid out of court to shut their dang mouths?
But I get what you're saying. I think regardless, compensation is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The question is whether this is big enough where Fitzgerald will be fired. Heck, not even by the time we get to those moments, but by the time this is posted, by the time this is aired, we have no idea where Fitzgerald's going to end up. I think where Northwestern really put themselves in a corner was that suspension. And there was no teeth to their statement. Two games.
There's been players that have gotten suspended for a whole season just for, like, picturing them with a bong. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's scary. And I think Paul and I have talked about this for years. From when we got out of school to when we started podcasting to the days now of the sports cubicle, the zealotness of coaches and then head coaches in football and then in college itself, like, it's so scary. So,
I think you see it at all levels.
Yeah.
But I think college football has always been this sort of the wishy-washiness of, we know that it's dirty and evil and so corrupt. And of course, how much power is given to these coaches, you know, almost compared to the other sports too, where there's always going to be hubris of the front office or the coach or however, you know, people want to conduct themselves in the sports business world. But the college football coach, the amount of hubris and like...
Old ball coach.
Yeah, yeah. And just the good old boys club that all this is. And like you were saying, the private institution where it's going to be protected and it's going to, you know... I was going to bring up though that this is weird that it's the same program that 10 years ago... the quarterback wanted to unionize the players to, have medical compensation, for a better thing where these guys weren't expendable. And it's just weird the shift in 10 years that you saw a program that was really trying to fight for the student athlete, even worldwide, not only in their own locker room, to a program that's abusing players in their own locker room.
Let me ask you this, Paulie, and I think a lot of people have had this thought. When you see Pat Fitzgerald doing this recruitment routes and he talks to parents and he talks about sending your child here, we're going to take care of him, we're a family, and we've seen this over and over and over again. Heck, we saw on the pro level with Kyle Beach and the Blackhawks. Paulie, as a dad, of father, of boys, mm-hmm. how upsetting is it to you at this point where, and I don't think it's, I think it's always been like this, but now that the veil is gone, how upsetting is it for you to know that a salesman is going to walk into your office, into your house one day, sit on the couch and tell you why, Mr. and Mrs. Shivari, this is why your son is going to be ex-quarterback. And knowing full well, not just that he might leave whenever in his own accord, whenever he wants, mm-hmm. depending on the contract, but that stuff like this can happen to your child. What if you did have a star child in baseball or gymnastics, or how these continuous stories, how do they impact the mind of a parent?
I don't know. I mean, it's, I don't know if I've ever had a coach sit in my living room or will have, you know, and I know that there's other examples I can point to, and it would be a case by case sort of
sure.
thing. But it'd be upsetting as a parent to have the after, the amount, the after the fact. But at the same time, yeah, you have to put your trust into these people that are putting yourselves in your own living room and saying this to your children.
And especially you, Paul, being the parent sort of thing here, it's like, how do you think it would feel like if that happened? If this could be your son here, and there's some snake oil salesman coming around, basically, who, I'm sorry, I'm convinced he knew something about that. But, you know, for a man, it's one thing to lie to your dang face blatantly. It's another thing to lie to your face about your kid and know, oh, if your son's here, we're going to put him through. I'm not going to mention the stuff they went through, obviously, but just, do you think any of these parents are going to really come out and really retaliate?
Yeah, I think you're going to see it in the civil suits. I think we're waiting to find out all the information, I think. At this point, we know that it happened. We don't know to what extent. We don't know how much the coach knew about it and was protecting this from happening. To what you and Mercado were saying about, you know, as a parent, how does that make me feel? Obviously, you know, I'm upset if that's happening to my children and that someone would tell me to my face that, you know, this is a great program and we're upstanding and this and that. You know, it's just you put your trust in these people and you hope for the best. And yeah, you want accountability. But I think at the same time, we're at the point right now where it's, yes, upsetting, but still have to kind of temper where I'm at right now, just based on all the information coming out. And of course, I'm not one of the parents, you know, personally of what's going on here. But I would imagine that they're going through some stuff. They're trying to find out from their kids exactly what's happening and how do they proceed from there.
Yeah, and with a guy like Pat Fitzgerald here, it's like I'm convinced he knew, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure even with the new athletic director, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some people that have left the place that have some skeletons in their closet right now. They're going to definitely get dug up. It's going to be a real big catastrophe. I say it's about the White Sox. I want them to clean house. I really think Northwestern is going to have to do some clean house, but for much different reasons.
For much different reasons, yeah. For the White Sox, it's you know, obviously for performance reasons, and for this, it's the culture. And at the same time, you know, we're discussing this on the Monday after the weekend that all of this broke, and Pat Fitzgerald is still a head coach. We're talking about the two games. For me, it's a matter of when, not if, and the clock is ticking. I think at this point, to save face, the university just has to just cut ways. It's like, unfortunately, they should have always had a backup plan for Pat Fitzgerald because he wasn't going to live forever anyway. It's time to go back and find your Gary Barnetts and your Dennis Greens and your, you know, I'm trying to name off and coaches from
Utah. That's pretty good, though. Yeah, you went too. That's
although
not bad.
Barnett had skeletons in his closet, too, didn't he? Yeah.
As I was just going to bring up, as we were talking about before, it was like how you have to make sure there's other people that worked in this organization before who are going to come out and they're going to be, or going to have some, you know, their name's going to be dropped. And I'm pretty sure they're going to clear house with a lot of people in the athletics department because I'm sure multiple people knew.
You have to. Even if, let's find out, we talked about the two roads you go, either he knew or he didn't know. No matter what the answer is,
out.
You have no choice. You can't go on the recruiting trail with this on you. I'm sorry, Northwestern fans. I know a lot of them think this is going to be a witch hunt or that it's going to be a woke media or it's going to be some weird thing that happens, but he failed the program because he's put in a position where he makes a lot of money. He's the face of the program. And if there was even a whiff of it and it wasn't snuffed out the minute it happened for his own self-preservation, he failed himself then. So I think this is all around a horrible moment for Northwestern fans, Big Ten fans, Chicago fans, trying to be excited about this. And that's not even mentioning they're trying to build a brand new football stadium in Evanston. I don't know, guys. This is a bummer. This is a fun week. As Paulie said, we're recording it on All-Star Weekend, Home Run Derby. Like, this is such a bummer.
Like, why does this always happen? Like, the Blackhawks got ruined for me. Northwestern got ruined for me. Like, I'm waiting for when's the other shoe going to drop with the White Sox?
Oh,
we still never addressed the Omar Vizquel thing. How much deeper does all of this get? You know, what other universities, what baseball teams, what professional teams, what's going on in other countries?
As Paul brings a good point, it's not that Northwestern's the only one doing this. They just got caught.
They just got caught again.
Women's soccer. Yep. We just, like, how many times do we have to keep talking about this story, like, of these weird sort of, like, pseudo-weird power structure cultures that, you know, that like, violate human rights?
We could say it here. I mean, we're three men. It's when you have weirdo men in power that take advantage of men and women, children, teenagers, heck, even coaches. It's just when you have weirdos in charge.
Yeah, weird sort of manipulation of people. It's sickening.
Guy in the news today, Larry Nassar, you know, we all remember him.
Yep. Did you guys hear about this? So as of this recording, again, like Paulie said, heading into Home Run Derby, wish we would be talking about that, but we'll talk about the winners and losers later on this week of the All-Star game. But yeah, he got stabbed in jail.
Oh, yes. Nassar?
Yes.
Yeah. Today, yeah. Well, and that's like, that's the whole prison culture of...
If you're a pedophile,
uh-huh. Yeah, don't go to prison.
So I think we all agree here. We're not going to cape for pedophiles, sexual assault deviants, like weirdos, people that can't keep their hands to themselves. Like, I don't feel the need to say, like, cool, I like Pat Fitzgerald. I like the Go-Cats. He looks like a out of casting coach. But if you knew people were getting assaulted, I got no time for you. But I got time for Paulie and Devin all the time. And I got time for Marver. And I got time for our amazing listeners here. But we're not going to plug anything. This is a bummer of a story. We just wanted to get onto the microphone, since we're all here together, and post this right now, because heck, this could be outdated news in about an hour. And if it is, we'll make an addendum. I'll jump onto the recording. If it is, you'll know it. But we'll talk about it as we get closer to actual showtime on Sunday for WCPT's The Sports Cubicle, if we have anything new to go down the pipeline. But I think Dev and I agree with Paulie. It's not if, but when.